You take the word and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 2. 2 Samuel chapter 2. And we'll be reading this evening verses 1 through 11. 2 Samuel 2. This is the word of the Lord. May He bless the reading of it. Then it came about afterwards that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to one of the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up." So David said, "Where shall I go up?" And he said, "To Hebron." So David went up there, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. And David brought up his men who were with him, each with his household, and they lived in the cities of Hebron. Then the men of Judah came, and there anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, "It was the men of Jabesh-Gilead who buried Saul." And David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said to them, "May you be blessed of the Lord, because you have shown this kindness to Saul your Lord and have buried him. Now may the Lord show loving kindness and truth to you, and I also will show this goodness to you because you have done this thing. Now therefore let your hands be strong and be valiant, for Saul your Lord is dead, and also the house of Judah has anointed me king over them." But Abner, the son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, had taken Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. He made him king over Gilead, over the Ashurites, over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, even over all Israel. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he became king over Israel, and he was king for 2 years. The house of Judah, however, followed David. The time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. And that is God's word. And so after lamenting Saul and Jonathan's death and the rest of Israel in chapter 1, David seeks the Lord and asks him if he should go back to Judah. So he's been in the land of Philistia for a time now, and it seems like he's done with that sin of abandoning the land God had given to him and to the men who were with him, along with abandoning the land of Israel. And it's time to turn from that sin and go home, and he seems to realize that. Yet in some cases, as we look at his two wives, we see that some sin will remain with him even for a long time, much of the rest of his life. So the Lord leads him to Hebron, and it's here where Yahweh's chosen king visibly begins to rule on the earth. And yet we find out that he doesn't rule over all of Israel. He rules only over the one tribe, and that is the tribe of Judah. What we find is God's kingdom at its very small beginning. It is concrete, it's visible, it's earthy. At the beginning of 2 Samuel, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. So as David is made king, he begins the work of a king, and we see some of the politics at work right off the bat, but this isn't normal politics. It's not like today's politics. David hears of what the people of Jabesh-Gilead had done, and with Saul and his body, giving him a right burial. And again, the biblical burial is not by cremation. I think I've made that point sometime in the past. And it's by here, the biblical burial that we see throughout Scripture is putting the body in the ground or in a tomb. And so that for God's people, they will be raised up on the last day from the grave. With this information, David then sends messengers to communicate his gratitude to Jabesh-Gilead, the men there. He proposes kindness to them. He invites them to submit to his rule that God has granted to him. He asks that they will be blessed of the Lord, and then calls for their allegiance. And really, this is a picture of the Lord Jesus, not only as King but Savior as well, calling us to allegiance to Him, but not only allegiance, like we learned last week in John, but to a complete submission and entrusting ourselves to Him in everything. And we are much like the people of Jabesh-Gilead in this case. When we hear of the call of the gospel in our lives, we stand between the kingdom of God, small in its form, mustard seed looking, We stand between the true kingdom and the much larger looking bastard kingdom that also expects allegiance to them. We stand between the true kingdom, God's kingdom, and the worldly kingdom, the world. And both are calling us to follow them. And where will our allegiance fall? Who will you entrust yourself completely to? God's kingdom, or what we see next? The kingdom that defies God. Ishbosheth is made king of the rest of Israel by Abner. Ishbosheth is the second king over Israel. And Abner's actions were a continuation of Saul's hostility towards David. Even though Saul's dead, there's still hostility going on towards him because of Saul. Abner is opposing Yahweh's kingship. He's opposing Yahweh's will. One commentator says this about the passage: this kingdom conflict will continue in one form or another until Jesus comes in power and great glory. If we are among God's people, then we must not allow those who defy the Lord to deter or depress us. Only the house of Judah was following David. And David was calling Jabesh-Gilead to follow the true king, David, at the time. And then you have Ishbosheth, who would be calling Jabesh-Gilead to follow them. And so we as the church, small as we may seem, must follow Christ. That is our place, that's our calling, even in the low times, in the times the day of small things, especially since we know that the mustard seed will grow into what promises in the prophets is a great mountain and fill the whole earth. And so we need to put our trust in the Lord and in His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word here. We thank You for calling David back and making him king and fulfilling promises. Lord, You are faithful. And You've always been faithful to Your promises. You always will be faithful to Your promises. And so we have promises about the kingdom of God today, that it will grow. And we thank You that it will grow, and we expect it to grow, and so we ask that You would embolden us to proclaim the gospel, that just as we proclaim the gospel and ourselves through Your word, calling sinners to Yourself, we ask that You would be working in us, that we would not get caught up in the ways of the world, that we would not have to really decide between the worldly kingdom and Your kingdom, Lord, because we would be so involved, entranced with Your kingdom, that we would have absolutely no temptation with the world. We ask that that would be true, or that You would at least not tempt us beyond what we are able to bear. Father, we ask that You would grow Your kingdom, that You would uphold Your people and the building which is being built. Uphold us, Lord, that it would not fall, and that the chief cornerstone would reign, and it would hold firm us who follow Him. Lord, we know that these things will come about, and these will stay true because You are faithful. Lord, be faithful to us, Your people, and the many promises You make. Lord, hear our prayers. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.